grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
that's a mighty big banana,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
It's not a banana.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
And so when the guy tells his buddy, he goes, yeah, she left me for some Indian guy. And he says, I'm sure he'll treat her well because I hear they worship cows. That's a good one. Can't tell it on the air, though.
No, our mics are on.
What?
Our mics are on.
Oh, shoot.
I think it went out over the air.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. We can edit it, can't we?
Oh, yeah. We got editing equipment.
Yeah. Color your face red.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Keon gets credit for these. He found them. The guy's telling another guy, he goes, man, I just found out I was colorblind. I had no idea. That came just came out of the green. Thank you. And that's our best material. So we're finished. We're finished for the day. I still need a little more headphone volume. I know I told you to turn it down, but I can't. There you go. Welcome, everybody, to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Today, 2nd of June. Now, there's something big, according to some researchers, coming up tomorrow and Saturday. But today, I think we're okay. It's just the 2nd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June?
Oh, so close.
Wow.
So close.
Man.
The 3rd of June.
No, wait, something big coming up tomorrow. I heard John Carney's band, Oh Brother, is playing out at 370 Park.
Yeah, that's it.
Tomorrow from 6 to 9.
That's it.
That's
you
the
just
big
spoiled
thing.
It.
That
God.
Was down. That's tomorrow. And then Saturday, our band, the Southside Johnny Band, is playing.
Those were the two things I was going to talk about. The St. Simon Picnic,
Parish Picnic.
Where's that? Where's St. Simon?
In South County on Mueller Road, right at South Lindbergh and Mueller.
What would you do if you couldn't plug? If you didn't work here and could, you think anybody would be there to see your band?
This is a tremendous
forum, you know,
I know,
and stage to do that.
I know.
I think it's hilarious that the 3rd of June falls on the day I'm not here. And I think we looked at the calendar. I don't think there's one on a Monday through Thursday till 2019.
Not for a while, yeah.
I think it's hilarious. I can never say, well, here we are, when it's really the 3rd of June. It's funnier that way, I think. We have a lot to do today. We have Scott Sherman coming in the 4 o'clock hour, so do this for me. If you have a legal question, and many of you do, about a neighbor, about one of your kids, your ex, whatever, your boss, your work, you got fired, you didn't get fired, you didn't get the job, discriminate, whatever, legal. Scott Sherman's the guy, and you're going to save a lot of money. I calculated, since he's been on here, if he were to charge a 1 hour minimum, which is what would happen. You get the hourly rate. He has given away in legal advice $6.2 million.
Wow!
Worth. Yeah, well, that's the actual number of legal advice,
man,
that people didn't have to pay for. So 4 o'clock hour.
He's crying right now.
Scott,
yes.
Yeah, Scott Sherman. I would open the discussion up to the other two in the room by saying, "Does anybody have anything to say?"
I do.
I do, too. See that, Dan?
How
I know,
he
jumps
steps
right
in before you do. He's trying to take over.
I leave a little pause.
Yeah, he did leave a pause for me to jump in. But.
You do. There's that other great joke that's really stupid. It would be a good kid's Halloween joke where a polar bear walks into a bar and says, I'd like a Coke. And the bartender said, why the big paws? He goes, I've always had them. Get it?
Yes.
Hey, there's a woman who works here and never laughs at our stuff, and she's laughing. She's probably just doing it to be polite.
Oh.
Okay, does anybody have anything to say? I believe Peon does. It's
I do.
All yours.
Thank you.
You're
I have
welcome.
One thing.
You're welcome.
I heard something for saw something for the first time. I had never. Are you familiar with the SR-71?
Not that I know of.
It was an airplane.
Okay.
And it was the fastest airplane ever created on the Earth.
It was made,
saying something.
Yes, and that's why it was weird that I never heard. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have heard of it, but it was created by Lockheed Martin. And then I think NASA.
That's Dean Martin's brother.
Is it?
Yeah.
And then I think NASA, it's retired now. They retired it in 99. Care to guess how fast the fastest plane ever
on Earth?
Why
would they retire the fastest plane ever?
Well, I'll get into some of the reasons why.
I'm going to say like 900 miles per hour.
Dan?
Yeah, I'll go 1,200.
Top speed, 2,193 miles per hour.
That's moving.
It did a flight right before
they... That's Corvette Z06 type speed.
its final flight before it was officially retired in 1990, it flew from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. in 1 hour.
Wow.
It's obviously a jet.
Well, yes. It was a huge jet. Yeah. It was made out of... And the thing that they had to deal with building this thing is... all the materials for the plane, because when you go that fast...
It'll disintegrate, fall apart.
The friction, well, the heat.
Oh, okay.
Friction causes heat when you're going that fast. So pretty much everything that they had to build, there's no known materials that can withstand. I think they said that the heat goes up to like 1,000 degrees.
So they have to use the kind of stuff you put on a rocket.
Yes, so the entire plane was made out of titanium. Mm-hmm. They had to...
what was the shuttle made out of? Was that titanium? Because when the shuttle re-entered the atmosphere...
The shuttle has some, like,
it had stuff
alongside, you know...
you can't use loose titanium because it'll fall apart.
Yeah.
You have to go with titanium.
And then they had to have a private, somebody not under the name of NASA or whoever buy all this titanium from Russia... Because, it was back, it was made in the 1964, they actually built this thing. And they were never able to find material to seal the gas tank, the fuel tanks.
Yeah.
Because there was no known plastic that can withstand 1,000 degrees. So when the plane is sitting on the runway, it's just leaking fuel. and so essentially they take this thing off with almost dry tanks. Immediately fly up to a fueling plane and fill the tank up from there, because once they're flying, the heat causes the metal to expand, and so the fuel tanks are sealed then. But while sitting on the ground, it leaks just, you could see, I saw a video of it last night, just leaking fuel.
Somebody just called and said that it leaks until everything expands in the heat, but it's called the Blackbird, I guess.
Yes, the SR-71 Blackbird.
Oh, I have heard of that.
I'll put a little, it was an interesting thing I found last night. I'll put a little
short
video.
Does it look like a boomerang or something, like a big wing or something?
I can show you here a picture. What it looked like. For 1964, it still looks like something that if it was built today, you would go, whoa, that's very futuristic looking.
I want to know who the pilot was. It was, said, I'll try it.
Oh, they said the training to go through to fly this thing. I think there were only 32 registered pilots that went through all the things, and it was a two-man crew, because you have to go through being blacked out at that speed is very easy. So yeah, it was a huge undergoing to go through the training to fly it. So
I'm drawing a complete blank on the plane that went up to the very top of the atmosphere and flew from here to London
the Concorde.
The Concorde, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, this one flew at like 80,000 feet. That's pretty substantial,
goodness.
Right? That's almost on the edge.
Commercial flights fly like 35, 37,000.
Yeah.
Military, 60. 80 is way up there.
Is that what the Concorde did? The Concorde was right at the...
I don't know. 60 or something.
Yeah.
And how fast did that go?
No, nothing compared to this.
No, no. I mean, 22 miles an hour.
800 miles an hour, maybe.
I can't even imagine what that feels like, sitting in something that's going that fast. I mean, there's no other way to really experience that.
But would you feel that if...
Not when you're in the air.
I think it's Mach 3, right?
Acceleration, you'd feel it.
Yeah.
You look like Joan Rivers.
But once you're up to that speed, you really don't know... It's hard to even really tell how fast you're going you're in the... Yeah.
It's like the people in space. They're going like 8 million miles an hour, but it's like they're sitting still.
Well, they're floating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not really floating.
I mean, so, yeah, moving. I'll put a video I watched about it. I thought it was interesting that I found last night. So.
Okay.
That was it. Okay. That was
Dan
all I had.
Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much, Frank. I was going to talk about... we didn't really talk about that gorilla in Cincinnati.
Right.
Harambe.
His name was Harambe?
I think so.
All these people on Facebook are talking about...
Yeah, that's why I don't go there and read that.
I know, but it's all this stuff about the gorilla and how people are mad at the zoo for shooting the gorilla.
Okay, first of all, these people posting weren't there.
No.
They don't know how far the parents were from the kid. They don't know anything about it.
Oh, no. And that's how Facebook is. People don't know, and they weren't there, and they don't know. To me, it's the parents' fault for letting the kid get that close. He was 4 years old. Any kid is going to start trying to climb on stuff and doesn't really understand the dangers of things like that. But also, the people that got upset were thinking, and I thought this too right at first. I thought, well, why couldn't they shoot him with a tranquilizer gun? But then I thought, they do that, and the dart and the tranquilizer isn't going to take effect for a while, and then the gorilla is going to get all mad and probably kill the kid. So that's what they had to do. That's in my mind, they had to just shoot him, and that was it, to save the kid.
Well, you can wait, but while you're waiting, he one blow, kid's dead.
Yeah,
and it would agitate him too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and he was already getting agitated with all the people
screaming
and doing stuff, which I would have had security should have had all those people away from.
I'm kind of freaked out by gorillas. They look at you like, hey,
yeah,
I'm one of you, and I'm mad that you evolved. And
very
I didn't.
Close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come I got all this hair and I can't even speak and you get and they want to kill you because we turned out better.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Anything else?
No, that was it.
Let's close it. Burke segment is officially closed. We're going to move along a little quicker than we normally would today. You can get Mr. Londoff on the phone, and I guess my job here is to what? Introduce to Tim Weiland or?
We can see if Tim's there ready.
If he's there, and if he's not, we'll wait till we get to John on the phone. No surprise here. Prince, now they have come out and revealed, here's a shocker, died of a drug overdose. Remember all that crap about pneumonia? Oh, he's got pneumonia. He didn't have pneumonia.
But pretty much the few drug days addict. After he died, it was pretty much known already, wasn't it? That
there were still people, though, that wanted to, you know, they wanted to believe he wasn't a drug user. Yes, he was.
Oh, I suspected that. I mean, you think about, somebody mentioned AIDS, too, and something else.
Well, there was an article that said 6 months ago he'd been diagnosed with AIDS.
Yeah.
None of it would surprise me. Look at the guy.
No.
And I'm not slamming him. He was a genius. He was a musician. Michael Jackson was a genius, but he was a weirdo. Just tell the truth. Jackson was a weirdo. There are musical geniuses that are different than we are, but they're not weird like that. Weirdos. Is John on the
Yes,
phone?
He is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's too late now. Too late. We're going to go right to John's not going to tolerate waiting for Tim Weiland. He can't hear me, can he, John? Can't hear me?
No, he can't.
Okay. I can hear you.
Oh, he can hear me. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Folks, please welcome a regular on the show, John Londoff.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Had a nice chat with the lady in your office. Her name was Maria, is that right, this morning?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
He had an AM/PM customer, New Colorado, New Chevy Colorado.
Maria and Mark, and they could not believe that you took the time to talk to them. And I said, you have to believe it. You know.
Well, John.
The only reason I do business with Frank is because, he loves me. And he'll answer my call on the first ring, no matter what time I call. Frank always. Remember that time I called you, like 1:30 in the morning, just to talk?
I don't remember that, but it wouldn't surprise me if that happened.
Maybe I'll try it sometime. some morning to see if you actually do answer.
Well, John, here's why I think they're surprised when they get to talk to me. One, we're very famous.
Mm-hmm.
And we're busy. We don't have a lot of time, and that takes a chunk out of the day to do that, but we do it anyway because it's the thing to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It just is. It's the right thing to do.
It's tough for us to go out in public, too.
It is.
A lot of people ask.
It is. Then we have to worry about while we're talking to them, are they tracing the call? Maybe find out where we live. You know, it's just tough being really, really famous.
Man.
I'm actually making fun of a guy who's on the air who said something similar, that he was really famous. I'm making fun of that because we're not. We work at a radio station in St. Louis. That's not very famous. But thank you, Maria. And was it Mark?
Maria and Mark, yes.
And she picked the color, but it's, according to her, it's his new Colorado. But she got to, I think that's the perfect marriage. Honey, I'm getting a new truck, but I'm going to let you pick the color. That's a great marriage. Mm. He gets it, but she feels like she had something to do with it by picking the color. You getting rid of some Sparks? Are you selling some Sparks? Because I know you had a lot of them.
We have a lot of Sparks priced at $9,400. AM and the PM crowd, unbelievable. You know, we got 20% off MSRP is the rebate. 20% of MSRP on the Sparks, the Sonics, and Impalas. We're taking that up to 30%.
Okay, but hang on a second. Is the $94 after the discount?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And if you have a trade-in, of course, we'll give you even more off the price with the trade-in. You know?
That's
so
good.
Good deal. I have to finish a text message because I got a buddy.
You're texting? What? That's rude. You're texting while you're talking to us?
I don't take care of a customer. It's not rude.
Wait, you're texting and talking?
Wait, it's a customer, so it's okay.
Oh.
He gets a pass.
Hey, Jerry, this is Tony Dinelli, your best customer. Listen, I've got a problem with electronics with both of my vehicles.
So there you go. So I got to take care of Tony. But here, I'm taking care of you and the AM and the PM crowd first. Then I'll jump on to give my buddy Tony Dinelli a call, making sure I get him in here, get him a rental car, because we have over 75 rental cars here for our great customers. But it's just, what about this beautiful day?
Fantastic day. It's a great day.
Did you go
day.
For a run this morning, Frank?
Today I did not.
Okay.
I did not run today.
Hmm. Yep.
Come to think of it, I didn't run yesterday or the day before or the year before or the year before that.
And you won't go running with me?
No, I will not run.
What about with Mimi?
I will run if I can chase Mimi, knowing even that I can't catch her. I'd still be worth it. Try. Yeah, it'd be fun. No, I'm not going to run. If I ran, I'd have a massive heart attack.
Oh, you wouldn't?
Sure, I would. Mm. You can't just run if you don't run.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it's a great article. I still have it. I didn't get to it yesterday on marathons. And I thought about you because you ran a half marathon. And it said running a marathon, basically according to the article, and there were some doctors quoted in there, is just nothing more than a big waste of time.
Well, and one of the most dangerous things you could do to your body. Yeah, it's an extreme thing to put your body through.
Yeah, and they said it's not a good idea to run a marathon.
And it's bad on your knees.
So there you go. There's my excuse. As if I need one.
You know, what's really bad on your knees is if...
Is if you're Monica Lewinsky?
That's
tough on knees.
Woo-wee. That was pretty funny. But, no, beautiful day. We've been very busy, but we can always be busier. 30% of MSRP is a discount off of Sparks, Sonics, and Impalas. Up to $12,000 off Silverado double cabs and crew cabs. Over $2,000+ over Kelly Blue Book. We need your trade-ins, any kind of trade-in. We're keeping just about every trade-in. We put it through our service department, and one awesome young man, Robert Keneally, my brother-in-law, he was just besides being a great guy, he's an unbelievable technician, and he cares about our customers even more than you know, all of us do. Making sure that if we're looking at that trade-in before we put it on the lot, it is ready for immediate delivery. Something safe to put your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, yourself in, your wife in, and drive down the road. Be happy and enjoy. It's summertime, Frank.
I know it is, and I'm all for selling things, but I do want to just back up a minute. I'm reading this paragraph from this article. I'm trying to save your life. It says, there's disturbing literature that has now accumulated the ill effects of running marathons. Here we go. 4/5 of the people who run marathons have gastrointestinal problems like bloating, cramping, vomiting, diarrhea, fecal incontinence while running.
Oh.
So you're pooping while you're running the marathon. Others suffer from blood poisoning. I guess that's blisters from running. Dermatological conditions, sore nipples. Did you ever have that when you're running, sore nipples? Have you had that yet, John?
This is
an honest to goodness, real. This is research on. No, listen to this. This is for real.
Is
chafing,
disgusting.
Blistering jogger's toe.
No, listening to you talk right now is going to make me throw up, okay? But not, I mean, no, no. First of all, running is very good for you. It is great for you.
Okay.
Sitting in a lounge chair, sitting in a recliner.
Feels great.
Eating ice cream and not doing something.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's not. You've got to exercise.
I can sit in a lounge chair and my nipples can start hurting.
We edit that out. We didn't need that.
Yeah, we didn't need that.
We don't need
that. Not during my segment.
No.
Okay,
this is John's segment.
You know.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, maybe you know when you're talking to that Evans character out of California drinking all the wine, he's pretty funny. I will have to say he is pretty funny.
You know, of
and
all
it,
the
when you cut him off, it's really funny too because you kind of hurt his feelings. I can tell.
Well, and we enjoyed that. We like hurting his feelings. So, where are you located? I've never asked you that. Where is this dealership you have?
We've been in the same place since March of 1960. 1375 Dunn Road. We've ballooned up to about 13-plus acres of automobiles, cars, trucks, new, used, pre-owned, and, of course, one of the number one service departments in the land. And very, very proud of the organization we have here. 1375 Dunn Road, Interstate 270 at the Washington Elizabeth exit.
You can tell he's a hockey fan because he said organization.
Yep.
I'm a big hockey fan. I do not agree with the Blues keeping Armstrong keeping Ken Hitchcock. And now we've lost what I think is probably the better of the coaches, the young guy who's been in three Stanley Cups. He's won two Stanley Cups, Kirk Muller.
And they
brought
this.
Him in 2 years ago telling them, hey, if the Blues don't go deep into the playoffs, you will be our next coach. Well, you know what happened after his first year? The Blues lost in the first round.
Yeah.
You know?
Sorry I mentioned hockey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Set him off.
It's okay. It's all right. Got to get behind the Cardinals. Cardinals got to start winning some baseball games. They will. So 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. We love, absolutely love, the AM and the PM crowd here at Johnny Landoff Chevrolet.
That's right.
And Frank and Dan and Ian, we love you guys.
That's a beautiful sentiment. That is so beautiful. Thank you, John. Have a great, how could you not? The weather looks like it's going to be fantastic. So have a great weekend, and I hope you meet a whole bunch of AM and the PM people.
All right, thanks. Thanks very much.
All right, John. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. We have to take a break.
Yes.
Let's take a break. Come back, take a couple calls, and I will reintroduce you to the advertiser who joined us just this week, and wait till you hear the response they've already had. This makes me giddy. I'm so happy. We'll get to that, and Scott Sherman's in the 4 o'clock hour, and like I said, a couple of your calls. This is, in case you don't know it, the Big 550 KTRS. It's Jim and me. How many times? You know what? It's proof that nobody's listening.
Till I'm blue in the face.
Nobody's. Well, if you're colorblind, till I'm green in the face. We're going to get to your calls. I know you're on hold, but I have to thank whoever you are, you folks who just since yesterday called Gateway Lock and Security. Six people have already. We did one commercial for these people, and what makes me giddy is that I'm sorry they wasted money for a year on another station. I'd love to tell you what the station was, but it was a waste of money. So it makes me even happier that somebody who kind of spooked on radio because it didn't work. It didn't work because you're in the wrong place, and they know that now. So I'm thrilled to death that they turned the corner and did it the right way and decided to speak to you folks because this is the most loyal audience in the world, and you know that we never send you anywhere for any service or any product unless we really believe it's good. This is a family business, Gateway Lock and Security. And yesterday, I didn't mention yesterday that they don't service Illinois. They're not licensed to do business in Illinois. I'm sorry, Illinois. First Matheny, now this, the second blow. It's Missouri. If you're in Missouri and you care at all about security or safety, and maybe you don't. Okay. I've talked to people, and I talked to them about guns. They go, well, I don't want a gun. And I said, well, what if, and I give them scenarios, what if somebody broke in? Well, then it's just the Lord's time, the Lord meant for me to go. What a stupid answer. The Lord meant for you to be killed by an intruder? That's ridiculous. I don't think the Lord wants that at all. I don't have direct communication. I don't know what he wants, but here's what I think. I think the world is dangerous. Now, I don't walk around every day scared to death, but I think there are lots of nuts, and there are lots of jealous people, and there are lots of people who watch people who have things they don't have, and they want to get in and get them. And surveillance cameras, the kind that are installed and put in correctly, not this amateur crap you send Amazon sends to your house and you try to set it up yourself. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the good stuff. I'm talking about the kind of surveillance cameras that businesses and residences put in when they want the latest, greatest, and best. I'm talking about the kind of video that if you suspect somebody was messing around your house or your business, what a great feeling it has to be to show the cops in ultra-high definition clarity, there's the guy, there he is. That's it. He's going down. He's going to jail. It's the greatest evidence in the world. And it's also great peace of mind in knowing that from your phone, you can see what's going on at your house. And it's not just always about horrible armed robberies. Let's take, for example, a business, and you think that there's somebody in that business who's maybe doing some stuff they shouldn't do. You got multiple cameras going all the time, and it's being recorded. Everything's being recorded. It's the greatest peace of mind. I started to mention, and I got off track, that my sons are in the restaurant business, and they showed me years ago this setup, and it's something like 12, 14 cameras at one of the restaurants, and they did the same at all three. They know everything that's going on there. If something happens, something's missing, all you got to do is go back, take a look at the video, and there it is. Gateway Lock and Security installs these cameras. That's not all they do. They do other things. Other things like access control. Let's say you want to replace in your entire business at strategic entry points where people of using the old way of getting in, old technology. How about a keypad entry system or a card swipe system or one of these fobs or cards you just hold up, beep, kind of like our parking garage. You just hold the thing up, boop, it reads it, and you go through. They do all that. They've been in business since 1960. Family business. It's called Gateway Lock and Security. Do not call them and ask if they can make you an extra key to your front door. They don't do that. You go out of business making a key at a time. They have a machine to do that at the big box stores. Sorry they're not available to you in Illinois. They're a member of the Associated Locksmiths of America, member of Angie's List, member of Home Advisors, A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, licensed, bonded, insured. So if you live in Missouri and you're the least bit concerned about safety, consider digital video recorders or network video recorders and surveillance cameras. It is not only a great deterrent. Anybody with half a brain who looks up and sees a camera. Oh, and by the way, the pictures I'm talking about are not that grainy. I'm surprised I still see black and white footage on the news. And it's black and white, and the image looks like 8,000 people. Could be anybody. Not these cameras. This is some impressive stuff. And thank you again to the people who have already called. Now, if you're interested, it's gatewaylockandsecurity.com, or you know the drill, frankopinion.com, sponsors. There they are. Link you right to their site and take a look at what they do and how well they do it. In my life, I have never seen a time when there were as many sick and crazy, dangerous people as we have now. Every day in the news, it's one after the other, some lunatic nut. I'd like to be able to see who's coming around my place, and I think you would too. Gateway Lock and Security. Can I take a couple calls?
Yes.
Yeah, let me see what we got going here. This is, it's Edie? He put Edie, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, because sometimes Dan misspells it. Could have been Eddie. He could have messed it up. What's going on, Edie?
Well, first of all, I'm AM and the PM.
That's good to hear. And I detect a little bit of a southern accent. What's that from?
Well, let's see, a little bit of Kansas, Oklahoma, New Mexico.
Okay, Oklahoma.
Missouri.
Oklahoma, that would do it. How can we help you?
Well, I'm just curious. You're telling us that you're taking this new diet, appetite suppressant.
Well, it's a combination. It's HCG, which is an injection, and an appetite suppressant. I have always been hungry, always. I eat, I stress eat. When I'm in a great mood, things are going great. I eat. It's like a celebratory eating, And for the last 8 days, I'm not kidding. I have eaten very little because I'm not hungry. And that's part of it. That's part of it. The HCG actually keeps you from burning muscle. Make sure you burn fat.
My question, though, is what have the doctors told you about the effects of the appetite suppressants on your heart? I know that over-the-counter diet stuff, they are saying does bad things to the heart.
Yeah, and a lot of the over-counter stuff is crap, and I wouldn't do over-the-counter. I did a thorough exam with these people, their doctors, and yes, they inform you of all the risks, and I'm well aware of them. But I will tell you, years ago, this is not long term. This appetite suppressant thing is 4 weeks. I'm not staying on it.
Oh.
Now, if you want to stay on it and keep taking it, yeah, good luck. You're taking massive risk doing that. It's a 4 week thing. I'm on it for 4 weeks, and that's it. I'm not going to be using it anymore. But I did the same appetite suppressant, or at least part of the years ago, and I'm not kidding. It worked. It worked. I lost 40 pounds. I got it back. That was my fault that I gained it back. But no, this is not, I'm taking this for 4 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
I was just concerned.
Well, eating.
Can you also...
What?
Yes, sir?
Go ahead.
Can you fix up a beeper that you can sell that has that little anyways voice on it?
No, because I don't think anybody would buy it.
Oh, I would. I have a friend that does. Anyways, and I automatically swing back to my favorite people and think, where's that little voice?
I think you should just keep doing it.
Yeah.
All right?
That could be. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Edie. Edie, concerned for my health. How about that? No, I'm in good hands. These people know what they're doing. Let's go to one more. Russ. Russ, what's going on?
Good afternoon. AM and PM, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you.
A couple things here. One, that pilot that took that Blackbird, 80,000 feet, that was Chuck Yeager.
Oh, it was?
Yes. He said when he got it up there, he said he got scared. He said it felt like the damn thing was starting to come apart.
Well, I'm sure that was a concern.
And number two, you remember the old sonic booms from years ago?
Yes.
Well, we were fed a lot of crap about that. They were telling us they were building these planes for the purpose of war. Well, actually, they weren't. Because you're talking about throwing Mach with 630 feet per second. Our technology and capability in bombing was not there at the time. What they were actually doing is they were trying to take and build a plane or a jet that would catch UFOs.
Okay, if you say so. Why don't we hear sonic booms anymore? When I was a kid, I'd go outside.
Yeah,
you'd hear. Why don't we hear that anymore?
Yeah, I know you would hear it a lot.
Why don't we hear that?
Because those planes ain't going that fast anymore. That was the purpose of it. You thought things were going Mach 4.
Why did we slow planes down? Back then we had planes going fast, and now we don't. Why? Yeah. Why don't we?
Well, they figured out they couldn't catch the UFO, so they quit building these things.
I don't think they built a plane to catch a UFO.
Honest to God, Frank, that's what they were trying to do.
Where can I find evidence of that?
I got a friend who works for McDonnell Douglas. I'll see if he can email you something in regards to that.
Yeah, I'd like to see some legitimate. Information that actually says we built planes to catch UFOs. I don't buy that.
Well, they're not going to tell you they built them for that purpose.
Well, you just said they did. They told somebody that.
Well, the guy told me that, but that was not the point. They were saying they were building for bombing for the war.
I think your friend's crazy. He may have told you that. I've never once heard anything like that. We're not going to build planes to catch UFOs.
Lastly, with that gorilla situation.
No. A racist comment, and we're not going to put it on. So you folks heard part of something, and you didn't hear the rest, and the reason is we killed it because it was racist, and we got plenty of that in this world.
And I think people that are listening on the app, they don't...
Well, they heard
are
it.
Online.
On the
they
app,
heard
they heard it.
Yeah,
it didn't get cut out, but we're not going to play that game. Is this our Norman?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. We don't have time. But tell Norman we'll have to do that later or call back. Give me the names again. What happened to my names on the screen? Let me talk to John. John, how are you?
Hi, Frank. This is John.
That's why I said John, how are you? Thank you. What's going on, John?
I got a question for you. I took HCG about 5 years ago. I took the drops you put on your tongue. Mm-hmm. Was on it for 6 weeks, lost 53 pounds, mm-hmm. Stayed off for 4 years. And my question to you is, I understand you're taking the injections. I'm really in contact with those people you're advertising for. But are you on, when I was on the drops, they had a 500-calorie-a-day diet.
Yeah, I changed it to 800. I'm not doing 500. I just sort of modified it for myself. But oddly enough, I can do...
That's on that list?
No, I don't pay attention to that. I'm doing... You should. You should do it right. But I'm doing 500 to 800, and it's just not hard to do. I thought it would be. I could do 5 because I'm not hungry. It's working. Well, you said yourself you lost 53 pounds on that HCG.
Yeah, the only thing good about it is you lose a pound a day.
But that's not the only thing good about it.
You have no life. I mean,
I'm having a great life. I feel better right now than I have felt in a couple of years. I do. The last week, I have energy I never had before.
Yeah, it's just that you can only eat certain meats. You can only eat
well, yeah,
4 ounces.
But that's anybody who wants to eat right. There's no real diet that's medically supervised that's going to go, here, eat anything you want.
No, I know that.
Then I got to do that. Anything else?
No, I'm going to contact your people, though. I appreciate it.
It's on the website. Go to Franco Pino and sponsors and see them. Okay, I appreciate it, John. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Right. We got to do some business.
Yes.
Are you want me to do something?
Yes.
All right. I passed by Meanies today in the parking lot. There's a lot of cars in the parking lot, and I hope that was even the PM people. I'm pretty sure a significant number of them were, and I'm not sure why they were there. Some of them were there, I guess, to look at patio furniture. Some were there to look at lighting, Jaffe lighting upstairs, the second level. Some were there, I'm sure, to look at the furniture they've started carrying, because now they carry, and they didn't until recently, like bedroom, living room furniture, but it's not your typical average furniture store furniture. This is the furniture for people who have done pretty well. They've decided they're finally able to buy. It's sort of like a car. You know, early years, you get just something to get you around. You're young, and any car will do. And then you make a little money, you go on a little better car. And then someday, hopefully, you get to the point where you can buy that car, the car. And furniture's kind of the same. You know, you buy our first furniture, it was like rental furniture. It was so horrible. And then eventually we were able to buy decent furniture. This is the good stuff. This is the last you'll ever buy, probably. Kind of like a good oriental rug. You're not going to replace it. It's going to last longer than you are. And that's the quality of the furniture they sell at Meanies. And then, of course, the pinball games and the arcade games and the jukeboxes and the shuffle boards and all that stuff that makes it a fun store. If they didn't have that stuff, I'd have a tough time saying this store is fun. Because I don't know that it's fun to look at just furniture, even great patio furniture. But it is. It's an unusual store, but a fun store, and a store that everybody in the family can go into, and the kids are not going to be coming. When are we going? When are we going to leave? They're not going to do that. They're not going to want to go. You're going to have to crowbar them out of there because they're going to love it too. So take them with you. Not only do they not mind the Meanies, they love it. They'll put them on a game machine. Good babysitter for the next several minutes while you look at what you want to look at. It's AMI. Oh, they get some good post-Labor Day sales stuff, too. Check the website. It's AMINIS, Meanies. The website's easy. It's Meanies.com. And don't forget, they're in Chesterfield Valley under the Copper Dome. Hey, Dan, are those for Scott?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, people are already calling. Scott Sherman is in the house. He's ready. He's got his Michigan shirt on. He's ready to help you.
All dressed up.
I mentioned earlier he's given out $6.2 million in free legal information if he had charged by the hour. That's a lot. More to come today. But first, a word from Matheny Heating and Cooling. Now, it's 81 or 2. It's not hot. It's pleasant. You could get by. You're not going to suffocate at home if your air conditioning is not working. But it's going to be 95 or 98 or maybe 100. It's going to get hot. It's going to be summer. It always comes. And then there are those people who put off. They don't get the heating and cooling system checked ever. They wait for a crisis. That's okay. Matheny will get there as quickly as anybody can get there. For those of you who kind of think ahead and you want it checked out just for peace of mind, they're there for you too. Matheny Heating and Cooling, 74 years plus, third generation. And they work on everything. I mean everything. Don't even worry about, well, I hope they work on this model. Yeah, they do. The answer is yes, and I don't even know what it is. Any model, any make, any brand, any type, any size, any age. It can be brand new. It can be 20 years old. You can be a business, or can be large, can be small, either one. They'll take care of you. You're going to be so glad you found Matheny Heating and Cooling. You will never again want to call anybody else. That's a big statement, but it's true. Matheny Heating and Cooling, serving anyone or any business, business or resident in St. Louis County or St. Charles County. Okay? You're all potential Matheny customers. Matheny Heating and Cooling, MathenyHeatingandCooling.com. They jump in early.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law,
boom, boom, boom.
Who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Now here's how this works. You have a, and Scott asked me, he says, you want to talk about the gorilla thing? And I just, I think it's been talked to death. I just do. If that's okay with you,
let's get to the call.
Get to helping people. And the way it works is this. You have a legal question. It can be about a divorce, a DWI. It can be a neighbor that's driving you nuts. It could be your homeowners association. It could be anything. And if he can, he'll help you. And if he can't, he knows people who can. So you email him, and he'll put you in touch with the right people. The phone numbers you need are 314-969-KTRS. That's 969-5877. This is free legal advice, folks. This would cost you $200-$300. 888-550-KTRS, or for most cell phones, *KTRS. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. I'm glad to be here.
In 1 minute, I'll let you talk about the gorilla for 1 minute. What? Give me your thoughts.
My thoughts are that the zoo, which I think personally is more like an animal prison, is not a babysitter for people's children.
But the zoo should also not have any sort of enclosure where a 4-year-old could actually get in there. You shouldn't be able to get in there. We weren't there. We don't know where the parents were. We don't know.
What we need to know is that injuries caused by wild animals, including those at a zoo that are brought up in captivity,
are just the animals being wild. That's what they are.
That is the per se, at law, complete responsibility of those people that keep them in captivity. So those injuries are the fault of the zoo, so they have to make sure they do their best to prevent that. I'm more concerned about whether these exhibits keep the animals from getting out rather than the children of irresponsible parents from getting in. And if there's some standard that zoos have to do everything they can within reason to keep these children of irresponsible parents from getting their kids in, then I'm okay with it. This one seems more like unattended, I don't know, Curious George and the irresponsible parent. But these zoos also make huge money from donations and from other cities where they charge. And they will get sued to the highest order and have to pay if, like I think in California, their lion or their cougar gets out.
Yeah.
So do everything you can, zoo, to keep your wild animals from getting out. Make it an educational place. Don't dangle something, exciting for little kids, even those of irresponsible parents that might want to get in. So on this one, I'm sort of tipping towards irresponsible parent, but I think zoos can do more to keep it safe.
I think a 4-year-old kid is a kid you never take your eyes off of. When they're that young, you can never, ever take your eyes off.
Because
in 30 seconds.
She had 4 kids, though, so I don't know.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be taking 4 kids that are little kids to the zoo if you can't watch them all at the same time and never lose sight of one of them. Okay, that's irresponsible. All right, that's
it. There you go.
Now we're going to get to helping people who deserve to be helped because they're AM and the PM. For most any cell phone, again, *KTRS. We start with, all right, now Dan has your name is Kathleen, not Kathleen. Is it Kathleen?
It's Kathleen.
See, he left the H out. That's Dan for you. Say hi to Scott Sherman, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling because I have a child who had an autoimmune disease from 14 to 15, and none of the medicine would work, and he ended up having to have surgery in the hospital. So we went in and had surgery, and he had 2 surgeries, and the doctor screwed it up. And we were in there 43 days.
How long ago was this? How long ago was the last of these surgeries? Is it recent? Within the last couple of years?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, and this is a brand new phone.
Well, we hear you.
Okay.
When was the last surgery? How long ago?
November 2015.
Okay. Recent. Okay. How do you know the doctor screwed it up? Just because you think they did, or how do you know that?
Okay. He had one surgery, and within 5 days, they redid the same surgery. And then we were in the hospital, and he wasn't getting any better. And it's a three-part surgery. And we were in there 43 days for a six-day surgery.
Has a medical professional looked at this and given you the opinion that this is a screw-up? Or is this more outcome has been poor, it's taken a long time for him to recover properly? And I'll tell you the reason I ask. The reason I ask is to pursue a medical negligence claim, or what they call medical malpractice claim, you're going to need an expert in that field to say they screwed it up. Because they may well have screwed it up, but until you get that expert to give that opinion, the medical malpractice case is not going to bear fruit. The place to start, if that's the question, is medical malpractice expert lawyers who concentrate in that field. And I know some of the best, and if you would like to run this by them and have them take a look at this, they won't charge you anything to do that. But I want you to know that you might be right, and you might be wrong, but the way to do this is to have professionals look at it.
That makes sense? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The connection is so awful.
You know what? We can't sit here a long time and have you tell us you can't hear us. So maybe if you can call back. But here's what he said, basically. You have to get a medical malpractice attorney who can find a medical authority, a doctor, to say that, in fact, they did screw this up. Because you just thinking they did won't work. You have to get somebody's medical testimony who is an expert in that field.
He has two more surgeries, and we had to switch hospitals, and the second hospital found the error and had to redo the surgery for a third time.
Did the second hospital say to you, oh, we found an error, they screwed this up?
Yes, he almost died.
Okay, well, it sounds to me like you have someone in the medical field who will testify, right, Scott?
That's right. You're on the road to the right kind of approach to the case.
Yeah. Kathleen, there's only so much can be done here, but what can be done here is to tell you you have to go to the next level, which is get a good malpractice attorney. You'll have to.
And I just don't know where I should look for one.
Well, we're gonna help you with that. Scott Sherman has an email address. You email him. He will give you the names of a couple of people that that do this all the time.
The best in the country and the best in this area.
Okay. You want his email address?
Uh-huh.
Law office.
Go ahead.
Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Nobody's ever had trouble hearing us, but I don't know what that is all about. New phone? Take it back. Get your money back. This is Dawn. Dawn, say hello to Scott Sherman. Dawn?
Hi, Scott. Yeah,
hi, Dawn.
Let me take it off. Speakerphone here. My question is this. My granddaughter, actually not children, had a friend who was looking for a roommate. She moved in. And she pays half the rent, half the utilities. Well, naturally, young as they are, they got into this horrendous fight. And now the roommate is just leaving. They both signed a lease. Well, the lease was originally in the roommate's name. Now, the lease is not fulfilled because she's not stayed the whole entire lease, the friend. The realtor, that's who this property is going through, says that Lily, my granddaughter, has to find someone to move in plus pay another $575 deposit And Madison can just move out whenever she wants to, even though Madison is the one who broke the lease.
Okay, can I say something?
Absolutely.
Is your daughter's signature, your granddaughter's signature on anything?
On a lease, yes.
It is on the lease.
Yes.
Okay, if she co-leased, I'll turn it over to Scott. I think she's got an obligation here. Scott, it's yours.
Mr. Pinion is right. As we were sort of mapping this out, I had granddaughter's friend and then some roommate, but I didn't have granddaughter as a signator on the lease. Once she puts her name on it, she's joint and severally responsible for the damages to it. They can come after her for everything. They can come after her for part of it. They can come after her for nothing. But when she puts her name on it, she's on the lease. Do you know how much of the lease term is left?
No, I don't.
And the fact that the other girl bailed is not the landlord's problem.
No, they will get from who they can get from. And then that'll be up to your granddaughter to try and judge Judy it out to try and get money from this irresponsible roommate friend. So the way to maybe handle it is to go to this landlord and say, hey, look, what it was going to take to buy me out of this place so I can get out of here, because then they would have to go to the expense of suing her. But is she responsible for what she signed? Absolutely yes.
Okay.
And this is one of the problems of having irresponsible teenagers living together, is that one of them walks out.
Well, she's 21.
Yeah.
She just graduated from Fonfon, so she should be.
It's not her. She's not the irresponsible one.
Right.
It's this roommate tag-along person that they were kind enough to let stay with them, and now she's in a fine kettle of fish.
But is the roommate's on the list, too, on the lease, right?
And she's the one who's breaking the lease. She's the one who's moving out.
Yep. And they want their money. And if they don't get their money and all of it, they can sue not only your granddaughter for the money, but they can kick her out. This is one of the problems of being a roommate and signing a lease.
I was under the impression, because I did rent for a long time, that if I broke my lease, that I would not get my deposit back.
That doesn't necessarily mean that. That deposit can be used mainly for the repairs to what it takes for that.
Right.
It can be used if the landlord chooses for unpaid rent. But if she's not close to the end term of this lease and it's six more months and she says, I can't pay, okay, fine, we're going to sue you for the remainder of this lease amount.
Okay.
You're joint and several. You're in it to win it.
Has she talked to the landlord and told him the situation?
Well, yeah, and I called the realtor. We don't know who the landlord is. The landlord naturally is, the realtor is actually going through, she has a person who owns the property. She's just the person who, how do you say that?
Okay,
you know?
there's like a
broker.
Yeah,
right.
Management company. Where is this located in St. Louis County?
Neosho in the city.
Oh, okay. There's a way to find out who owns properties.
Okay.
But the agent for the owner might not be speaking on behalf of the owner.
No, the agent wants money.
They want the money, and they're going to be the hard guy. So why don't you Google search this address, find out who the registered owner is, pick up the phone, call them, and say, my granddaughter has a problem. I'm sure you hear this all the time. It's the city of St. Louis. At least they're paying something. Can you work it out with us? Because I don't know if you've heard about this, but a lot of people that live in the city of St. Louis these days are pretty irresponsible. And your granddaughter isn't one of them. But she's going to get sued and have a judgment against her and maybe nowhere to live for a while unless somebody talks to somebody more reasonable than this broker.
Right.
At least to
she's
get
not
a
being
deal.
Reasonable at all.
Yeah, well, then go over her head.
Yeah, find out who the owner
is. Well, the two of them have to get together. Well, this other gal,
yeah,
won't even talk to Lily.
No, forget the other roommate. She's done.
Forget she's out. She's gone. Right.
Okay.
Get on the phone. Google search this address. Find out
who
owns it and get on the phone with them.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, Dawn.
Sounds like
there
a plan.
You go.
Good luck. Thank you so much.
I know a little bit about this when kids decide to share a lease. I can tell you something. It usually goes bad. It just does. Because one of them decides to get married and leave. Something happens and they just go, they don't care.
Frank, it's like the co-signing of a car loan.
Yeah,
if you're not willing to pay the whole thing,
then don't put
your name on
exactly.
that thing.
Let's go to Pat. Pat, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. I'm AM and PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I've got a rental property in Florida. it's a small condo, and above there's long-term leasers. And I get complaints a lot about people renting the condo about water coming down through the vents in the ceiling, and it's from the renters upstairs. What kind of recourse do I have?
What are they doing to run water down there?
Evidently, they have some small children, and they leave them in the tub, and they splash all over the place and get so much water on the floor that it comes down into my condo.
Scott, it's all yours. This is a good one.
Okay. Condo associations are the bugaboo of people that get involved in real estate. Have you had a communication with the condo association in Florida about what they want you to do?
I have. I've talked to the president of the homeowners association. He recommended that I call the actual owner of the condo, which I did, and hasn't changed anything. And then when I called him again, he said that they would bring this subject up at the next homeowners association meeting.
That's an awful thing for them to tell you to do. What you should do is hire a plumber or some kind of contractor to give an estimate on what it's going to be damage-wise to fix this when the entirety of the bathroom upstairs comes through your condo. Then
okay.
I would communicate through with a lawyer to the homeowner that won't do your neighbor and say there is probably a nuisance action with tremendous damages if you don't address this. So I would find a lawyer in Florida that is an expert in condominium law and damages, real estate, and I would get with that person and get them your estimate and say, have that go after this person, and if they won't, then you could file a nuisance action and have a court in Florida, whatever county it's in, I don't know, say, you must, upstairs person, stop this before there is a tremendous tragedy here. Either somebody gets killed or there's $50,000 or $100,000 worth of damages.
So here's the deal, Pat. So most of the time, a lot of the time, you can't make people do anything. You go, hey, man, stop running water down. Yeah, go to hell.
But
sometimes the only thing that gets people's attention, and I know a lot of people say, oh, too many people sue everybody all the time, but sometimes it's the only thing that gets somebody's attention.
Yeah, what county is it in? Don't tell me what city. What county
is it? Santa Rosa.
Okay. There's got to be lawyers that work on these whether timeshares or whether they're resorts.
He could Google top real estate attorneys.
Yes. And okay. Pay this person, whoever they are, $300-$400 to write a letter, but get an expert to assess what the damages would be and what damages they're creating so that you have a dollar figure. And I'll bet you once they get that letter, you're going to get one of two things. You're going to get them to fix it, or you're going to get a lawyer on the other side and they can talk it out. But you have to mitigate what could be a tremendous damage to you.
Not only
the condo association, these are some of the worst groups of people that you can ever run into when they just dig their heels in and they're not helping you, and that's a shame.
Right. And I think you could threaten them with a significant amount of money in a suit because their punitive damages here. If these people go on and post what a horrible rental property this is, it could cost you business.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, well, you got to shut that down and make sure that they know if that happens, they're going to pay.
Real estate, a lawyer in that area.
Okay.
All right, Pat. Thank you. We'll take a break. That way, we'll come back. We'll have a nice big, make a big hole here, and we'll fill it with legal advice from Scott Sherman. So if you folks can hold on, it'll be worth it, I think, because you're going to get some good advice. Ballast Dental Care is where I've gone for 43 years. 43 years. The same dental clinic. When you go there, you will not ever want to go to another dentist. You will compare it to dentists you've seen in the past, clinics you've been in, and it'll win. If it's a contest, Ballast Dental Care will win because you're going to say to yourself, I have never in my life been to a dental clinic where I was this comfortable, where I was not afraid, where I actually couldn't wait for my next appointment. That's what's going to happen. It sounds like it's almost impossible, but that's what's going to happen. 43 years, and I've seen emails from people who've gone there, who one of them, and this is the one that stands out, 20 years, hadn't been to a dentist. And it's embarrassing, and I get that. You don't want to go. At a certain point, you don't ever want to go. You're so embarrassed. Don't be. They've seen, whatever your situation is, they've seen worse. They've seen mouths in worse shape than yours. But here's what's going to happen to you if you don't go. It's going to get really bad and really expensive. And, of course, there's the possibility you can lose your teeth, but it could be worse than that. You say, what can be worse than losing your teeth? You have no idea what gum disease can do to the rest of your body. It's just not smart. Get in there and get this stuff taken care of. It's not going to get any better by itself. Ballas Dental Care, they're at the corner of Ballas and Clayton Roads. They would love to have you as a new patient, and they'll get you in there. As big as they are and as successful as they are, they're never going to say, well, we're not seeing any new patients, or we'll see you in September. That's a song, I think. They'll get you in, and you'll be glad they did. Ballas Dental Care, again, the corner of Ballas and Clayton Roads, ballasdentalcare.com.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Some of you may have that recording, Johnny Cash, and go, hey, my version doesn't have that great harmony in it. That was me. Huh? Yeah, believe it or not, that was me. Yeah, that's true. We're back with Scott Sherman. I don't need to give the numbers because we have plenty of callers to take us up to the top. Let's start with Kim. Kim, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Kim.
Frank, first of all, I have to ask you something. Will you let Scott do every other Friday at least? I love it when he fills in.
We will take that under advisement and consider that, but I think Paul Harris is pretty locked in every Friday. What's your question
okay,
for Scott?
Okay, well, my question for Scott is, my brother was diagnosed with terminal cancer, lung cancer. The reason it's terminal is because it spread to his adrenal gland. About a month before he was diagnosed, he had an aneurysm in his aorta in his stomach. They had to go in and fix it. Is this worth looking into? Because we think they should have seen something.
Well, first of all, Kim, that is very kind of you about the Friday, but I won't have anybody to listen to then if Paul's not there.
Yeah.
I love it. Second of all, I'm very sorry about your brother's condition, and yeah. I want to get right to it. It depends upon this spread. Is he stage four? I mean, is that what they gave him?
Yes.
Okay.
They gave him 6 months to live and without treatment.
And then the question then is, who's the they and when did they catch something and how long was it between when they had an opportunity to catch this and it became stage four? So I don't want you to say who it was at all. I want you to sort of give me a timeline as to when was he first diagnosed with the cancer that spread to his adrenals.
He was diagnosed with that maybe 6 months ago.
Okay. Had he had an oncologist or some medical professional that was looking at cancer before that six-month window?
No, but he did have surgery on his aorta.
I do understand that 1 month prior to that 6 months. Had he had, was he under the care of a medical doctor regularly before that 7 month period of time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he was. And they even looked at his fingernails and said, that's a sign of a severe lung condition.
When was that?
And never tested him for anything.
Okay. Was that a couple years ago?
No, this was...
Here's what I'm getting.
Right before, this was, I don't know.
Here's what I'm getting
was,
at,
really.
Kim, because I don't want to play history major with you and when was the Battle of Hastings. The point is this. The longer ago a medical professional had an opportunity to look at your brother and reasonably not only diagnose him, but say, hey, there's some signs here that you're sick. You need to go to a specialist. The better chance you have of a misdiagnosis of cancer. The having the aneurysm is an emergency, but then a month later, he's stage four. So what you're probably looking at, and again, I think you should talk to a medical malpractice specialist on this, is who is it, what facility had the opportunity to get this right, and screwed it up? If
and
so,
and I think she's thinking it's the people that did the aneurysm.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, because just because they go in and do that, that doesn't mean that they're automatically going to go, well, let's see if this guy's got cancer. They're just going to deal with that one thing.
And a month, it's normal. I'm no oncologist, but a month is usually not the time between the event and it turning terminal. There's some period of time look back that if somebody, he was under somebody's care and they missed it or they should have gotten it right, that's probably the target.
Yeah, not
but
the aneurysm.
Before we say no or yes or anything like that.
And I'm just saying about the aneurysm that maybe they should have saw something. I mean, it's in his adrenal gland.
Maybe they should have. But even so, would that have stopped it from going stage four? I think your look back here for your brother is... Mm-hmm. Earlier in time. So here's what I would like you to do, if you're willing to do it. Send me an email. I'll give you the name of the best medical malpractice people in town. You talk to them.
Perfect.
Okay.
I will do that. Scott Sherman at
Law Office.
Law Office of Scott Sherman.
@gmail.com.
Okay.
And all
Thank you very much.
Brother.
Hi, Kim. Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
From Kim to Ken. Ken, say hi to Scott Sherman. Ken, that's you.
Oh, hey, Scott.
Hi, Ken.
How you doing?
Great.
It's Tim with the T.
Well, no, it's not, because Dan says your name is Ken.
Well,
so
I'm
that's
sure
your
Dan's
name.
Wrong about a lot of things.
Oh, now easy now. He's never made a mistake. So, Tim, what's your question?
I got a question for you. I'm a salesman, and I'm a commission employee, so I make a percentage of the profit that I bring into the company. So I worked for a local St. Louis contractor for a while and decided I wanted to go a different route. And I have a lot of tap out and pay sheets from my previous jobs that give me an average of what my commission should be. Since I've left, all of my jobs that they've built and done since I left have come in a lot lower than what they normally were. Being an independent contractor, a 1099 subcontractor, they're handing out these lien waivers to all the customers, and they haven't paid me on these jobs yet. And technically, I'm a contractor. So should I send a letter to my customers letting them know that you don't just have the supply house, you don't just have the roofers, but you also have a salesman that is expecting commission off of this job, and until they have paid me, can I technically file a lien on a homeowner's house if I did the work and I'm not getting paid on it?
Whoa, that's okay.
I'm going to start with this. When you left your former employer, was there a contract in place between the two of you about how you'd be compensated?
When I hired on, we signed a contract.
Okay.
But when I left, we didn't rewrite any kind of a contract.
Well, you don't rewrite a contract.
No, it either expires or it keeps going. Did it expire, or was that was the end of that deal?
Well, to my knowledge, I believe it's still in force because technically I have jobs. I still have customers that call me. I still take those phone calls. I relay the messages to the office. Every once in a while, there's an issue on a job, and I do my best to take care of it. But the contract hasn't been amended, and I don't believe it's over.
In the original contract, did they address what would happen when you left the company in terms of accounts receivable, money that's still due you? Did they address that in the contract?
They take 20% of the commission for the office having to finish out the jobs, final invoicing, check pickup, things like that.
And is this in perpetuity, your ongoing relationship with these customers, or did that end after a certain amount of time?
Well, and that's really a gray area because they are technically my customers. They did business with the company I worked for, but I was in the face of the company.
Okay.
So, like I said, I still take phone calls.
Well,
I still answer text messages.
But you're not there anymore. You're not at the company anymore.
Negative. No, I'm
right. And so, you know, we want to be as kind as we can on this. I'm not sure because I haven't seen those documents. But what I'm guessing is, in the eyes of your employer, and this might be wrong, is that when you left, there might have been some straggling business that had occurred while you were there. And once those things were closed out, you might be the face of something, but that work product is over. Your relationship with them is over, that compensation package to them is over, and that you really don't work for them anymore, and they're not your customers, because I bet you in that contract, if you still have it, I'd like somebody to look at it for you. It probably says that those customers are their customers.
Right, and when you're gone, you're gone.
And when you're gone, they may love you, but you ain't there anymore. I mean, look, Green Bay Packer fans love Brett Favre. He's not their quarterback anymore. It's one of those contractual situations, and you might be right, but you need to get that contract and have an employment contracts expert look at it to make sure that you're getting what you have coming due and that you're not making a mistake by then having the company say, oh, you're coming after our customers. You can't do that. So I don't want you to go down any bad roads, but a couple of $100, have somebody review that, and I got a couple of people that's what they do.
Can you refer? Can you give me a name?
Yes, I will, and you will like them. They may not tell you what you want to hear, but they'll do a great job.
Shoot Scott an email. He'll get you a couple of names, okay?
Okay, law office of Scott Sherman.
@gmail.com. Right. All right?
All right. Hey, guess what? I'm in the PM.
Thank you, Tim. You think we get one more?
I think so.
Let's get one more. That's going to be Eric. Eric, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Frank. First-time caller, AM in the PM.
Welcome. Welcome.
Quick question for you. My girlfriend parked her car in her driveway earlier this morning. She got back today from work, and a construction crew started tearing up her street, and now she can't back out or do anything. Was there someone that was supposed to notify her or anything like that?
Yeah, whoever was doing this, because what they've done really is imprisoned her vehicle and denied her the ability and access to use that. And without the right notice, they could be on the hook for damages. Let's say she went out, like, I have to get to work. I'm renting a car. I send that to the construction crew and say, give me your insurance information. I got to get out. She doesn't want to drive that car into this zone of death and risk ruining it, but they have contained her ability to transport herself.
Is this construction work being done for a resident on the street, or is this for the county or something?
I believe for the county.
Well, yeah, they have to give notice. And if they say, oh, well, we gave notice, ask them how. Because you didn't get it. Say, email, what did they do?
Would it be from the construction company or from the city?
Well, if they're still out there, I'd get a card and find out who the supervisor is or who the foreman is for that job. And then I'd call the street department for that. Can you tell us what city it is or what municipality?
Yeah, well, it's actually in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, well, then same thing applies. Whether or not they're doing a job, they have to give reasonable notice to the residents that the streets are going to be blocked from this time to this time. Keep your vehicles off your driveway or off the street, or we're going to tow it or you're going to be stuck. Now, if they didn't do that, they're on the hook for the damages for your girlfriend having to get transportation back from work. The good thing is they didn't, whatever they were doing, destroy her car. Because if they were doing tree work or if they were doing cement work and they, you know, destroyed it, you'd have a huge issue. So it's a couple of $100. It's worth a phone call, but I would have her talk to whoever's doing this work, who's the boss, and call the city where she lives and see if they can rectify this or make an exception for her so she get out of there.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate
rental. It. Thank you, Eric. Something kind of like this happened with my mother-in-law a couple weeks ago. Somebody on the street, there was a sewer pipe or something broke. And so these trucks were there, and they parked the truck right in her driveway. My mother-in-law is 85 years old. She had a doctor's appointment. She couldn't get her car out. So I told her, get the name of the truck, the number off the truck. I called these people, and I said, move your truck right now. My mother-in-law has a medical condition. She has to get the doctor. If she dies, it's on you. They moved that truck in like 2 minutes.
That is right. That is absolutely
because there was no notice given. We're going to be sorry, but for the inconvenience, but we're in 2 weeks, we're going to have to block you. Nothing. And they moved it. It was that easy. They moved it.
Yeah, and then for people that live on residential areas where there's parking on the street and they put that tow-away zone stuff for people to move in, if those moving companies block your driveway, they don't have the right to block you in your driveway. You shouldn't park where it says no parking.
Right.
But if they block you in, then you raise you know what. That's it.
Right.
Don't take it. Good job.
One more time. Give them that email address, Scott.
Law Office of Scott Sherman @gmail.com.
Scott Sherman, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll do it again next Thursday.
Lots of people have lots of problems.
And they need some advice, and not everybody can afford to shell out a couple of $300 just to have a question answered. So we'll do it again next Thursday. Can I do this? And then we'll get to the Playhouse and Bill Cleveland inside the Playhouse. If you are working currently with a financial advisor, that's smart. Good for you. There are people who don't do that and should. They don't do it because they think the only people that need financial advisors are wealthy people. No, you need a financial advisor if you want to get wealthy. How about that? How about people who want to be independent or have a comfortable retirement? It's not just people that won the lottery Powerball that need a financial advisor or CEOs. So if you're currently working with an advisor, but you think a second opinion might not be a bad idea, I have two names, Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. You've heard them here for 15 years at least, the names. Stiefel Nicholas. Stiefel, member SIPC and NYSE. They will determine if your portfolio, I didn't know what a portfolio was until I was 30, by the way, is performing as well as it should be. And if you're properly diversified, they can tell you about tax-advantaged investing strategies that maybe your current advisor overlooked. And then your reaction will be, well, I didn't know that. My current person didn't tell me that. Well, that's why you get a second opinion. They'll explain the options for claiming your Social Security benefits. You get all kinds of advice about that. Oh, take it as soon as you can. Don't take it for 5 years. Don't take it for 10. Everybody thinks they know all the answers. It really comes down to your situation, and we don't know what your situation is. But they will when you meet with Mark and Jason. Once they see your particular financial situation, then they can tell you why you might not want to take that Social Security right away, or why you might. And if they, and by the way, if what you've done is everything's right, they will actually say, you've done everything right here. I don't know how we could improve on this. I've gotten emails from people who were stunned when that happened. But it can happen if they agree with everything you're currently doing. If you want their phone number and everything else, you know the website. It's markandjason.com.
Toenail fungus.
I hate that.
So get loosened up. We're about to get Pinion's Playhouse on the air.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the June 2nd edition of Pinion's Playhouse, brought to you by First Community Credit Union. I was there today. That's right. I was in there. I like to go in there. I was in and out, quick and easy. Several people in there, though, because it's the first of the month. And I guess the first, middle, and the end of the month, more people are in banking facilities than any other time. But you know what? They're very efficient. It's always a pleasure to go, and the popcorn is always delicious. Largest credit union in the St. Louis area. We'll talk about First Community after this. Look who's running the control board, the same guy who's been sitting here for 18 years. And we've been here, Dan and I, almost 19 years. But 18 of that 19, it's this guy. Mastering the buttons and switches that few people could ever conquer.
Yeah.
Beyond the peon.
Very, very few.
Peon, say hi to your sponsor.
I would like to say hi and thanks to Mark and Jason. They are financial advisors with Stiefel Nicholas. He's a member of the SIPC and NYSE. And if you are getting ready to receive some money from your 401k, it would be a good time to sit down with Mark and Jason and explore all of your options. For their phone number and more, go to
markandjason.com.
Hello to the chicks.
Dan Strauss is in the house with his trouser mouse. Dan, how's it going?
It's going great. Hi, everybody. And I wanted to ask Peon real quick. Could you turn my headphones up just an RCH? Because I'm not sure what happened, but
how unprofessional.
I lost
the show's almost over.
I know, but I don't
know
what happened.
Mention this
it just
2 hours
got really
ago.
No, they got
louder?
For some reason they got low. Yeah that's
sure
good.
Sure they did. That's good. The sound seemed to diminish as the show went on.
Yes.
That's a brain tumor. That sounds like a brain tumor. Hebe Jimenez is in charge of security. Bernice is in heaven.
You horse is hind end.
And when I was in First Community today, I went back to the, I have a safe deposit box. You know, it's like a ordeal. Palm print, keys. Guess who's in there? With looking in his safe deposit. Rat Boy.
Oh.
Rat Boy has a safe deposit box. And I said, hey, it's none of my business, but what do you got in there? Jewelry or important documents? Tell him what you keep in there.
Cheese.
Cheese.
In different
the safe
kind
deposit
of gold.
Box.
Yeah.
Yeah, to him, that's as good as gold. Give it up, please, for Bruce Limpress and the Oh Boy Orchestra.
Yeah.
And Joe, if you're listening, yes, I'm doing the tattoo joke for you. Kind of inside. But he reminded me of a joke. Again, another joke I kind of forgot about for the last couple of years. But we've told it several times, so it's coming up. First Community Credit Union, I think I've told you everything you need to know. Why some of you, and I'm assuming some of you, aren't still members is baffling to me. What is your excuse? What is your reason? Most of you, lots of you, have switched over. You've moved. I know that. I know that because business is good, and they tell me it's good. And they tell me that people who listen to the yard sale on Saturday morning, which is sponsored exclusively by First Community, come in and go, hey, I'm doing all my banking here because I love the yard sale, or I'm going to do all my banking here because I love the large morning show in the afternoon. So why you've waited and why you haven't done this, I don't know. What is your allegiance to the place where you bank? You don't have any, do you? No, you don't. You can't give me one good reason why you're banking where you're banking. Just because you already bank there, why move? Well, here's why. Maybe a place that has real competitive rates. Maybe a place where the service could actually be better than the service you're getting now. You just don't know that because you haven't gone there to bank. A place where you're not just a customer, you're a member of the credit union. And there's a difference. It makes a difference. And a place with 42 locations. And when it's really hot in the summer and sticky, that St. Louis humidity, you can go in there and get a popsicle, and all year long you get fresh popcorn. But that's not why you're going to change for popcorn or popsicle. You're going to change because to the people who bank there, and I would say everybody there at some time was with another place, a bank, they'll tell you, this is just a better way to bank and a better place to bank. And whatever it is that you use your bank for, whatever services, they have them all. They have them all. Just because bank's not in the name, don't be fooled. You can do all your banking at First Community Credit Union. 42 locations. FirstCommunity.com. Downtown St. Louis, it's a Bill Cleveland segment starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limpress and the All Boy Orchestra. Brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and PM cab company. STL Taxi, that's the app. It's easy to use and it's free. And it'll get you quickly a Laclede Cab. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Bill.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Great, great. You too, I hope.
So, I'm here at the piano.
Oh, boy. Now, tell people you took piano lessons.
I have been taking piano. Well, I was doing a lot of traveling this spring, so I had to miss a couple of months of those lessons. But so off and on this year, I've been trying to learn to play the piano.
Now, you never played it all. You never played it all
no.
before these lessons. How many lessons have you had?
Here, 10, 11, 12,
that's
somewhere
not,
in that
neighborhood. That's not many. And can you play a song?
Well, today's your lucky day, Frank. So I decided we talked about maybe me playing something on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found a song that I like. I've been practicing it for the last week here. And so I would like, and I've never played in front of like more than one person at a time. So
well, don't
just
be
the
nervous.
Three of you listening is a lot of pressure.
Don't
here.
Be nervous.
What's and the 20 or 30 that are listening on the air.
Will we,
for me.
Will we recognize the song, or do you need to tell us what
I
it is?
I think you would. Do you want to know the name of the song?
Yeah.
And maybe that'll help us.
Yeah, I do.
Great Otis Redding song, Try a Little Tender.
Oh, she may be weary. Young girls do get weary.
Now, I don't play very fast.
Wear the same old shaggy dress.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm ready. I'd love to hear. You guys want to hear this?
Yeah, sure.
Everybody,
I'll play the whole thing, but I'll play like a minute.
Okay. So. All right. Ten lessons. Ten lessons.
Here we go.
All right.
Ten.
All right, you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes?
Well, we're ready.
Yeah,
we'll hear it, yeah.
All right, here we go.
this Norman?
No, it's Bill.
He can't hear us now, can he?
Yeah, I think he can.
I don't think he can.
It's on speakerphone. He said it was slow.
This is Norman, isn't it?
No.
They say he's only going to play a minute. Seems like 20 minutes.
Well, you said he plays slow.
This is the worst piano I've ever heard.
No, don't say that.
Oh, I mean, this is good. We'll tell him it's good.
Yeah.
I think that's the end right there.
Wow. Wow. And that was only 10 lessons.
I could hear you idiots talking while I was playing, but I kept going on.
I thought that was Bach.
Hey, better than I could have done. I can't play. 10 lessons? I don't think that's bad for 10 lessons at all.
Yeah, all right. Well, there you go.
Is that it? You close it? Closing out now? Say goodbye now?
That's all you get.
All right, go.
A concert.
Go, close it out. Give them the close. Give them the big finish.
I can do it. The Bill Cleveland segment is brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and PM cab company, and from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRN. Right.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
That was our Bill
He's
Cleveland.
No Liberace.
Our Bill Cleveland recital.
Yeah.
And Norman did call today. We didn't have time to get him on. He's going to call back on Monday.
All right.
I can tell you, he had a guitar he was going to play. So he's going
to
play
There's something to look forward to.
On Monday.
Well, you say, could there possibly be another segment inside a segment? Like Bill Cleveland inside the Playhouse? Yes. How about the outdoor segment? Yeah. How about that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Segment in a segment. I'll try this at home. I'm a professional. Now it's time for the outdoor segment, courtesy of Pistols Plus in Osage Beach, Missouri. Well, this weather is really something. And that's the outdoor segment.
Wow. That's pretty in-depth.
There's no need to drag it out.
No.
You just, nice weather, there's your report. And now you need to know the sponsor of that tremendous segment. It's Pistols Plus. I will probably pop in there again this weekend. Last week, I got myself another handgun. I've got one ordered. Kel-Tec makes a .22 Magnum. I know Peon has no idea what I'm talking about. I got it ordered. I can't wait. And bows and more bows. You archery people, they got lots of bows, probably as many as they've ever had in stock. It's a terrific place. Shooting range inside for your handguns, archery experts, Pistols Plus. 5 times bigger than it looks like it is from the outside. Take your kids. They got lots of great stuffed animals. It's almost like going to a combination gun store and museum in the heart of Osage Beach, kind of across from Staples. Maybe there is something wrong with me, but I don't find Larry David funny. I'm tired of Larry David. I don't think he's that funny.
What did you see him on?
Well, he's always popping up on SNL now as Bernie Sanders.
I disagree with you there.
You think he's funny?
Yes.
See, I don't. He's the same act all the time. It's him upset about something. I don't know. I don't get it. Now, here's an interesting thing for you boat people. My boys have gone in together, and they're buying a pontoon boat. We've had a pontoon boat before. Now, a pontoon boat is the kind of boat that over the years some people have made fun of, an old people boat. But this is an interesting thing that's happened around the country, Lake of the Ozarks, other lakes. There's nothing hotter right now than pontoon boats. They are red hot. These dealers are selling, and they've got these pontoon boats now like $150,000, $200,000 pontoon boats. So once was kind of a joke is not a joke.
Oh, if I owned a boat, I would own a pontoon boat.
Oh, my goodness,
boat.
It's probably the best all-around sensible boat you can
have. Because whenever I get on a boat, I don't feel the need to go 80
But you can.
Miles
you can
an
ski
hour.
Behind a pontoon. You can
it's just like a...
I just think that's interesting because at one time it was houseboats. You can't find a houseboat on the lake now. And then they go through these phases. And there'll always be bass boats and fish and ski boats, but it's just interesting, the pontoon boat. And my boys are all excited, too, and they should be. Good for them, getting the boat. Folks, this is probably the last time we will ever sorry.
Oh, you're right.
You okay?
Ever be able to talk to you, our wonderful AM and the PM listeners, because according to scholars, and I think you all know that about 4 years ago, it was announced that it was the end of the world. They had done a calculation from the old Mayan calendar, and it was a whole convoluted thing. And it came and went. It wasn't the end of the world. Well, they realized the mistake they made, and they've announced that the apocalypse, the end of the world, it'll take 2 days, evidently, for the world to completely be destroyed. Hmm. Those 2 days are tomorrow and Saturday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tomorrow and Saturday?
Yeah, tomorrow and Saturday, June 3rd and 4th of 2016. Now, I'm not going to try to read all this. This is so convoluted. Hmm. And there is a 1,260-day difference between the calendars. Pian, what do they mean? The Mayan calendar and the Mesoamerican long count calendar, whatever that means. The Julian calendar is 365.25 days, which counts for leap years. The Gregorian calendar is 365.2425 days, which also counts for leap year. And it just goes on and on and on. And then they have a formula.
So it's saying the Mayan calendar didn't account for all those
leap years.
Yes.
That's why their first guess was too early. They've recalculated.
Yeah.
And folks, tomorrow and Saturday, that's it.
That's all we have?
That's it. It starts, the apocalypse starts tomorrow. I don't know what else to tell you. So say your prayers, get forgiven. Apologize to people. Get your life in order. You got tonight to do it.
I want to go buy a bunch of stuff.
You know what? Why not?
Yeah.
Charge a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it's the end of the year, of the world,
yeah.
Charge something you could play with tonight, like an Xbox or something.
Yeah.
And play it all night till the world starts ending tomorrow.
Yeah.
I find this very interesting. We've talked about this, too. There was a time when marijuana, if you mentioned smoking marijuana, that's like the worst thing. You know, he smokes dope.
Mm.
And look what's happened. We've come completely around to where it's probably going to be legal recreationally within 5 years everywhere in the country or less. We've already got 24 states where it's either legal recreationally or medicinally or both. So here's the latest out of the Arizona State University. They tracked over 1,000 dope smokers for years and years, and they've come to this conclusion that marijuana smoked after you're an adult, because in the, what do they call them, the growth years, when your brain is developing, it's not a good idea. But after you're an adult, you can smoke all you want to, and they can't find one thing that it does except contributes to gum disease.
Really?
Nothing about your lungs, your brain, your heart, just gum disease.
Hmm.
That's it. All those years, we thought that people who smoked weed were going to go crazy or they're going to have other. Nah. No, not according to Arizona State University. Now, Megan Fox is a hot, hot fox. She is.
Yes.
But now we know she's crazy, and I'll tell you why. She said in an interview, and she's pregnant, she says that she's getting messages from her unborn child. It's not actually a voice, but the child is communicating with her. And she said that she's moving to a different home in L.A. because that's where her unborn baby has made it known it wants to be. What?
Like Morse code or something?
I don't know. A kicking Morse code inside
maybe,
of her?
Yeah.
But she said this baby does not want to be raised in the home we're in now, so we are going to be moving. Well, okay.
Already letting that kid tell you what to do.
Yeah,
just
no kidding.
Thought you'd heard it all. We got a lot of business to take care of and a joke that, thank you, Joe. I don't know why I haven't told in a couple of years. Ladies, get in here, please.
Ooh, that's nice.
Fairly young couple, married couple in their late 20s, and the husband has a thing for Britney Spears and Beyonce. It's just Britney, Beyonce, his iPod, all he has on it, Britney and Beyonce. And her husband calls him the B&B guy. She's even nicknamed him Mr. B&B, Britney, Beyonce, Britney, Beyonce. So she's decided that as a surprise, for his 29th birthday, she's going to go get her first tattoo, and she's going to have a bee tattooed on one butt cheek and a bee on the other butt cheek for Britney and Beyonce. She doesn't mind that he's got this thing for Britney. She'll just fuel it if she has to. So she goes to the tattoo parlor, tells him what she wants in there. And after it's done, you know how sometimes things just don't turn out exactly like you want them to? The tattoo artist apparently put them kind of on the inside of her butt cheeks. Mm. You can't completely see the bees unless she kind of spreads her butt cheeks apart. So her husband comes home from work, and she says, "Honey, happy birthday. Boy, do I have a surprise for you. I know what a big fan of you are, of a couple of people." So, ta-da! And she turns around and drops her pants and her underwear and bends over. Says, "What do you think?" And he says, I can't quite make out what that's supposed to be you've tattooed there on your butt cheeks." She says, "Oh, yeah." She says, "Wait a minute." And she spreads her butt cheeks apart so he can see the bee and the other bee. He goes, "Okay, I give up. Who's Bob?" I think there are two ceremonies, I'll call them both ceremonies, that people participate in where they waste a lot of money, and I'm not a fan of either one of them. One is the traditional wedding, and yes, I have a daughter, and if she and her mom decide they're going to go that route, I won't have anything to say about it, but I'm not a fan of the traditional wasted money of a big wedding or the money that's been wasted over the years on funerals. I'm just not. This is my personal choice. I don't look in caskets. The last casket I looked in was my father-in-law, and I wished I hadn't done it. I'd look in my own mother's casket. I don't like that. To me, that's not that person. They're not there. I don't want to see that. I don't want to stand in the rain under a tent in a cemetery. I don't want to ask people to fly in from who knows where, given 2 days' notice for some visitation. I don't like any of that. And all that stuff costs money. I had the pleasure recently of meeting a guy named Joe Kalmer, K-A-L-M-E-R. And I say pleasure because I like what he's doing. I like what he and his wife and their staff are doing at Kalmer Memorial in Illinois and American Cremation in St. Louis. And what they're doing is educating people and teaching people that you don't have to spend $8,000 or $10,000 on a funeral. You don't. There's no law. I think sometimes people do things because it's the way other people do them. Well, you know, Tiffany had a big wedding. Who cares? So-and-so had a funeral, and oh, it was something. You should have seen that casket. Who cares? It's money. It's wasted money to me. So what the Kalmers do at Kalmer Memorial and American Cremation is they cremate. 90% of their business, and yes, they do the funerals. They can do that. But remember, every time you go to a big funeral home, a big fancy funeral home with a circle drive and columns and chandeliers and visitation rooms, all of that stuff costs a lot of money, and they need for you to pay for that. They need to sell you the Mercedes of caskets. They need an elaborate visitation. You don't, probably, most of you. So I would encourage you to go to either the Missouri site or the Illinois site online and listen to what Joe Kalmer has to say, his common sense little 3.5-minute speech about what to do or what lots of people are choosing to do once somebody has left this earth. And it makes all the sense in the world. So when you go to frankopinion.com and you click on sponsors, you'll see Kalmer Memorial American. It says, if death occurs in Illinois, click here. Don't wait for the death to occur. Go ahead now so you're prepared and you know exactly who you're going to want to call. There's a place for Missouri and Illinois. Click on it and watch what he has to say. Check out their website. That's it. I'm just asking you to consider not throwing away a lot of money that deceased person probably wouldn't want you to spend anyway. Kalmer Memorial, K-A-L-M-E-R, Illinois, American Cremation on the Missouri side. Southern California, here we come. I'm sure he's cracked open. He used to drink Shiraz. There's a Shiraz and a Shiraz, right?
They're two different.
He used to drink, I think, Shiraz, but he branched out. That was years ago. He's branched. He's tasted probably everything in existence. I don't know what he's tasting today. And I also don't know what he's going to talk about, but we're going to find out. He's Mike Evans, and he's in Southern California, and he's brought to you by Annie Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market, which is next door. They're on the east end of everything in Chesterfield Valley. Closed on Mondays with only a couple of exceptions. And gift cards. Boy, do they sell gift cards. Because when you give a gift card from Annie Gunn's or the Smokehouse, the people you give it to are not going to forget it. That is the gift card people will use. And now, Mike Evans.
Give it up.
Come on in here, Homer. Told you. I told you he'd be into a bottle. You know what people ask me, and I get emails from people going, does he really drink wine? Yes, the answer is yes. It's not a slurping act. He's drinking wine.
No, why would he be slurping?
He likes his wine.
I do.
Nothing wrong with that.
Don't think there's anything wrong with that, homie. Don't think there's anything wrong.
Wish I knew a little more about it. I don't really appreciate it.
You know, I heard you. I don't know. I haven't heard that person on the air before. Is that a new sponsor or something?
The last 2 or 3 months, yeah.
You know what?
Chicken butt.
Let me share.
Okay.
Chicken butt. You know what? You're so funny in so many ways, but don't use that chicken butt anymore.
Okay.
It's really stupid.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
Everybody in the studio agree?
Yeah. Okay, we're sorry.
Right.
We're sorry.
We're sorry.
We're sorry.
You're
sorry. We're
throw
sorry.
your pencil at them.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl and I talked about that. You know, I'm no spring chicken. And we talked about it, and it's like a no-brainer. I mean, I'm really going off script.
No, I'm glad you are. I appreciate it because it is a no-brainer to me.
It's a no-brainer. I mean, we're gonna, you know, if I go first, she's gonna get it cremated and keep me, on the mantle
in a wine
and
in a wine bottle.
Dies, we get her. She's gonna get her cremated, and then our kids are taking us and scatter us on the beach of a beach in Hawaii.
And please tell me your ashes will be in a wine bottle from a really good wine.
That would be a good one too.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of a funeral is just it's morbid.
It's archaic and
archaic
and barbaric.
It is. It's just,
to me.
It's ridiculous. People don't do it. I've been a big supporter hey, you're dead.
Yeah.
Get rid of the remains as quickly as you can,
and concentrate
on
the memory.
And let the people have a little memorial and laugh and have fun with you and have a few drinks and maybe a glass of wine.
Bingo.
And then go on.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I can't.
All right.
Pop quiz question: name the name of the young star who demands to do all their own shopping and spends hours at the grocery. Miley Cyrus.
Mm.
Adele.
Mm.
Taylor Swift,
mm-hmm.
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande.
Is peon.
He's peeing on himself.
No,
he have hemorrhoids today or something?
No, he didn't do the first two. They don't deserve it. The last two do.
Well, Miley Cyrus is hot. I don't care if you like
I
her.
I don't think so.
Oh, she
no,
is.
No, she's gross.
No, she's not hot.
Gross. No. gross is that the mother of that obnoxious kid that has a show. What's her name?
Oh, Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo's mother.
Well, you're right. Yeah, that is gross.
Oh, I just saw recently she's doing like a strip.
I know she's working strip clubs.
Who cares?
She's on tour doing strip clubs. She's going to do one of
Mama
she's
going
to be in St. Louis in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Who cares?
She's going to ride the pole, homie. Ride the pole.
No, thank you.
Love Nuggets. 63-year-old David Hasselhoff and his 33-year-old. Super hottie model wife, girlfriend.
Remember when Beast Boy used to play, "This is a man's world"? Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Haley Roberts is her name. This is a very odd couple, despite just the age. David says he's asked her to marry him 25 times, and she always says the same thing. Just keep asking. You know, I would tell her to go to hell.
No kidding.
I'd say, you know what?
How irritating.
You know what?
Chicken butt.
You're not even that good in bed. Hell with you.
Yeah.
61-year-old Kelsey Grammer says that he's never worked harder. He is the father of six, but more recently he's become sort of the full-time dad to Kelsey Grammer Jr., who just turned two. Having my 2-year-old granddaughter here last week, I can tell you, that's the hardest work I've ever done in my life.
Well, I cannot even imagine having a 2-year-old. It would kill me.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Odds and ends, Katie Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Could get an Emmy nomination for her portrayal of Jackie Kennedy Onassis in the fabulous TV miniseries called The Kennedys, The Kennedys After Camelot.
You know what? I saw that, and she did a great job as Jackie.
She's fabulous.
Yeah.
Everybody from George Clooney's Miley Cyrus and many others will be at the Bill Murray's second annual special called A Very Murray Christmas. It'll be on Netflix in December. I hear it's going to be really good. Got to be the ugliest dog owned by a celebrity. It's like half pug and half English bulldog that constantly drools. Called Carmella. The owner is Jonah Hill. But he takes her everywhere he goes with him, which I think is very nice. TV News Top 5 new series for the 2015-16 season. I'll give you the top five. You tell me whether or not you guys watch it. Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Number five, Shades of Blue with Jennifer Lopez.
No.
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 Number four, Code Black on CBS.
No.
No. No.
Number three, Life in Pieces with James Brolin.
No.
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 Number two, Blind Spot.
No.
No. No. My wife watches it.
Number one, Little Big Shots with Steve Harvey.
No.
I have.
I've seen it, but once. Only once. It's good.
How obnoxious those little kids. I just want to slap them.
Yeah. So, you know, those kids some are cute and some are obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. Some of them think they're hot shoot.
Yeah.
So they just, you know, act up.
Yeah.
And finally, that's the kind I bat.
And finally.
Oh. I got a quick date in history you got to hear. This date in history, I only get to use it once a year. Here it is because it's so classic. The Beaver, Jerry Mathers, is 68 years old today, which brings up one of the most classic lines ever said on television. When Beaver's mom, June Cleaver, complained to Beaver's father, Willard, that he had punished their son too severely, June Cleaver says, complains to her husband, quote, go ahead.
War. Hi, Mom. Where's Dad? Should have been home by now.
Well, Wally, if I know your father, he's out chasing Beaver.
No, don't you think you've been a little hard on my Beaver?
Mm-hmm. No, she didn't say
on
my Beaver.
Sorry,
on
the Beaver.
The Beaver, yeah. And finally.
And finally. who demands doing their own shopping at the grocery? Miley Cyrus, Adele, Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande.
Man, I could see Adele or Taylor Swift doing it. I'll say Adele.
I'll say Adele.
I think since she looks like she eats a few groceries, Adele.
Answer is Miley Cyrus.
Wow.
Not even close. Mike Evans. Brought to you by Annie Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market, which is right next door on the east end of everything in Chesterfield Valley. If you have a business, and I know that not everybody listening owns a business or has a business, but a considerable number of you do, you know how important your information technology is. IT, they call it. Get our IT guy on the phone. Well, if you get your IT person on the phone, that person shouldn't just be a person. It should probably be Huber and Associates. This is a company that for over 28 years has helped companies solve their problems using technology. And over 28 years, it looks completely different today than it did then. I don't even know 28 years ago what technology there would have been to manage. I don't know, because we didn't even really have an extensive use of computers. But they've been in it that long, so along the way they've kept up. And they know what your business needs in terms of your IT department to succeed. How that can help you reduce costs, how it can increase productivity, how it can help your employees work smarter. All of that comes along with having an IT partner like Huber, H-U-B-E-R, and Associates. Their website is teamhuber.com, but you don't have to remember that because you know to go to frankopinion.com and click on sponsors. They have clients across the country from coast to coast. They will design and they will deliver advanced IT solutions that will put you in front of your business goals and ahead of your competition. The rest is up to you. You want a great IT partner? Huber, H-U-B-E-R, Huber and Associates, teamhuber.com.